And a one and a two. You turn down your volume because I didn't mean to scream there. Sorry. Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 351. Spotlight on Marvel Comics: The Infinity Gauntlet, circa 1991. 27 years ago. My goodness.
There could be spoilers for Infinity War in this conversation. Inadvertent. Not on purpose. Anyone listening, all three of you.
Yes. I reread it this morning. It's been a while, and I realized today that I do not have a trade paperback of that.
You do now.
Well, yeah. I have... it was on sale on Comixology way back. Got it like for $5, I think. Somebody's filling up their coffee.
Someone making espresso?
No, water, sorry.
No, that's okay.
Hydrating.
Yes, I have three drinks here ready, so I don't have to get up. We were just talking before we started that two out of three of us have watched the Infinity War movie. I thought it was extremely dark, a lot darker than I thought.
Yes.
But then rereading issue one, which we are going to discuss.
Of Infinity Gauntlet. Gauntlet.
Yes, the Infinity Gauntlet, which it's based on. Which is cool in a lot of ways because something that I read when I was in my 20s is now kind of a movie. And they've been building up to this for 10 years. You got to add that in there. So it's kind of a big deal for us comic book geeks. A lot more similarities to the original than I thought. Spoilers on that. But anyway, it's the source material was just as dark as the movie, so I had forgotten.
I hope they gave Jim Starlin a wheelbarrow of cash.
I doubt that. I think he got his credit, and that's about it.
I saw it in there twice. They made a big deal about his contribution, and then they mentioned that he created Nebula,
Thanos.
Yeah, well, of course, Thanos. He also created Infinity Stones. They didn't mention that.
Oh, did he create those? I thought that. No, yeah. Those were pre him. There was actually an article on
oh really?
You know, Newsarama or CBR or something like that that talked about how they dated back a ways. He made them a thing as all attached. They're all one.
I misread what I read in the Wikipedia article then.
No. He as a concept, as the that they use in Infinity Gauntlet, and then ultimately in Infinity War, that was him. But the idea that there's these stones that represent different aspects of the universe that was around before.
Okay. They were called the Soul Gems before that, I think.
Right.
But anyway, I finally found out why George Perez. I read the Wikipedia article. I never really knew. I heard rumors, but I read the Wikipedia article this morning and why Perez was replaced very abruptly in issue four. Just like you read through it, and it's like Perez art, Ron Lim art, and that was the rest of it. So he was actually.
We're losing you, Chris.
Oh.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Can't hear me? Really?
Your time warping.
Let me see what the thingy looks like here.
Well, in the meantime, while he's doing that, Murray, I personally do not feel like I exaggerated saying this is the second best superhero movie since Incredibles. I'm not saying other ones aren't great. I'm not saying Spider-Man, the first one, with Tobey Maguire wasn't great. I'm not saying that Iron Man wasn't great. I mean, it's just, and whatever your personal preference for superhero movies weren't great. It's just, this one was pure superhero stuff blows up, things that are ultra incredible happen, you know, like how the heck that's just against physics kind of thing.
Yeah, so. That's true. Can you hear me okay now?
Yep.
Okay, good.
So, because Black Panther was good. It just, I don't think it was strictly a superhero movie.
See,
Winter Soldier.
I didn't see Black Panther yet.
And Justice League, superhero movie, but not great. So.
No, it wasn't great. I wouldn't go there and say that either. I liked it, but I wouldn't say it was a great movie because you could tell where Josh Whedon's stuff started and Scott Snyder's stuff ended. It was like two different
Scott
movies.
Snyder.
Yeah, whoever.
Not Scott Snyder.
Scott Snyder or Zack Snyder or whatever the hell, whoever that guy.
Yeah.
The one that everybody hates now. So
if you get a chance, Murray, if you like, I know that you are. I've heard you like superhero stuff. So,
yeah, that is a rumor.
I do.
Well, if you get a chance, and just know that just before the movie starts, go pee, and then you can go during. Then you can go during the credits because there's only one post-credit scene, and it's at the end of the credits.
Yeah. Literally.
End of the credits.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes, and I kind of, I made a mistake of drinking pop instead of water, and I had to go during it.
You crazy man. You would have missed, the whole jibber-jabber. You miss one scene, and everything goes right by.
No, I picked a real...
There was no pee break in this movie.
No, there was not.
No legit pee break.
I waited till as long as I could physically wait without making a mess, and since the nephew was with me, if the nephew hadn't been with me, I just would have done it right there on the floor, but I didn't, so.
Awesome.
I didn't want to embarrass him.
Thank goodness the nephew was there.
Yes, you know, he's 14, and he's easily embarrassed, so I did it for him.
I think anyone would be easily embarrassed by that.
No, not me. I'm not embarrassed by anything.
You brought that out there.
I don't care anymore. I really don't.
That was for all of us, Chris. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, all right. I'm glad I didn't. I don't want to embarrass you guys either. So, okay. There we go. I'll keep that in mind next time I have to go real
Too
bad.
Late.
Okay. Anyway.
Just the contemplation of it. I was contemplating it as well. I had to run out, and I didn't miss any of the movie, though. The key sequence that you missed, whatever it was.
I won't say anymore.
Movie. I don't know if I would necessarily go see it in the theater again, just because I know it'll be on Netflix before the end of the year. But it was.
I wish they had put out Black Panther on at least video on demand so I could have seen it before, but I don't think I really missed anything.
I think you can get on the Amazon, can't you?
I think. Well, no, I just got an email yesterday about pre-ordering it on Vudu, so I don't think it's quite out yet.
You could watch the digital on the Amazon. But,
yeah, I'll have to look. Yeah. It's probably on there.
And there's other methods. For
goodness sake. Yes. That method has been unsuccessful so far. But anyway.
Well.
Okay. Well, let's get into this.
And for those who were concerned about Disney, you know, they've made $1 billion this year profit.
I always get that stuff. So, you know, it's not like I'm not handing them my money.
All right.
Yes.
So, awesome cover. Infinity Gauntlet number one. I'll jump in first here.
All right, go for it.
We got a Perez cover with Thanos with the gauntlet on his hand with the six Infinity Stones there, and you got this is pure Perez. It's very detailed. The line art is perfect. I don't know if anyone inked this for him. It looks like he did it himself with the signature over there on the middle.
It looks almost painted.
It was done in 1990. A lot of the key Marvel characters. Yeah, it does. A lot of key Marvel characters. Though I don't know who that one is right below Silver Surfer. And I'm not sure who that is.
Below Silver Surfer. If I'm not mistaken, that's actually... No, Star Fox is there already. Never mind. You know,
No, I was just saying he has a green chin.
Yeah. I thought that was Star Fox, but he's right below that in another picture, so yeah. I don't know who that is either.
Star Fox is green.
Star Fox is not green.
No, I know. Seems like I read that there was a miscolor on one of the pages, but Drax is right below that too, so it's not him. I have no idea who that is. That's a good point.
Thank you. Sure. So, anyhow, Gazoo. Great cover. Pissed off Thanos. Gazoo. The great Gazoo. Was he green?
Yeah, he was totally green.
Yes, he was. And had a very large forehead, too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Well,
and I heard he makes a cameo, so there you go.
All righty.
Never Nude makes a cameo, if that helps. All right, so we have, again, classic Perez splash page opening this up, very similar to the opening splash page to another universal changing series from another publisher. Mm-hmm. Stanley presents the Infinity Gauntlet.
Can I just say,
yes,
this is the way to do a Stanley presents thing, not the Hickman method, which takes up 3 pages of story space.
Okay.
I'm just going to put that out there.
All right. Side note. Perez was doing War of the Gods at the same time he was doing this.
Really?
And he was getting behind on this, and that's why he couldn't contractually quit War of the Gods, and he was complaining about how long the script pages were, and that's why
he wrote War of the Gods.
He wrote it.
He complained about the length.
No, that's what I'm saying. He was writing and drawing War of the Gods, and he was complaining that he thought Starlin could make the story in lesser pages.
Oh, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes. Gotcha. Yeah. So that's why he eventually got replaced. I just got to reading that a little right before the podcast. That's why he was. And he had done the cover 1 through 4 already before they started for promotional material. So,
well,
anyway, little aside in there. Go. Never knew
somebody
that.
Narrating.
Yes,
it's a desert looking alien planet, alien structured. Rock formations all over the place. Definitely not Monument Valley in Utah.
No.
The skyscape in the background, and the whole thing is broken down. The panels, horizontal panels, but it's one splash page, but it's broken up into panels. I mean, I probably giving that poor description right there, but
yeah, it's almost like going fade to black to. Fade to a picture like in a film almost. That's kind of what I look at it as.
Sort of like the scrawl, the crawl at the beginning of,
yeah.
of Star Wars. All right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Is there
you
can
go.
Be no. And by the way, I would agree with Perez. There are a lot of words in this book.
Yes. Lots. Lots.
And he says, there can be no denying it. You are supreme. Anything you wish to be, you are. Anything you wish is. Nothing in this universe dares challenge that claim. There be only one word to describe you. And we see these footprints leading away towards us from the distant alien landscape. It's side-by-side footprints. And then we get the big God in stone letters. Sort of like that cover of Legion of Superheroes. I don't know what number that was. The last issue of the Great Darkness Saga.
Yep.
294.
Yes, it was.
I knew one of you would pull that out. And carved into the stones at the bottom of the page, we see writer Jim Starlin, pencils George Perez. Joseph Rubinstein with Tom Christopher inked it. It was lettered by Jack Morelli, colored by Max Shield with Ian Bofflin. I don't know most of these names. Goodness.
No.
SF. Editor Craig Anderson and Tom DeFalco was the chief. So I don't know. I know up through Joseph Rubinstein, but the rest of these names, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't recognize them either.
Huh. Well, surprised they didn't get Romeo Tangal.
Yeah, he did a lot of Perez's work back then, didn't he? Inked.
Through the 80s anyway.
Mm-hmm. He did most of the Titan stuff, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just thinking.
I don't think he inked on Crisis. That was other guys.
Ordway and Giordano, I think.
Yeah.
Probably.
No, it was. Giordano did the bulk, and then Ordway came in later. You can see where faces got rounder. Anyhow, yeah. So Thanos is standing with the devil, Mephisto. They are the two that have been walking across the alien landscape. And Thanos is standing with his hands on his hips, surveying his kingdom, so to speak, and his left hand is glowing. And Mephisto is bowing to him. And Mephisto is, as he does, yammering, trying to confuse Thanos. And he says, "Within your grasp rests the infinite. My humble personage bows before your grandeur. I am proud to be your first acolyte and bask in the glory of your divine presence. How may I serve you, great Thanos?"
I have a feeling that's exactly how Trump is greeted every morning by his secretary. Correct.
And instead of saying by falling silent, Mephisto says, more.
Yeah.
No. Thanos is not having any of it. He knows that Mephisto is full of crapola.
Yes.
And Thanos starts to control the planet. He's got, he's the one who actually built the, so that god that was built out of rocks, that's actually something that was part of the landscape.
Yes.
It wasn't just artistic purposes. Yes, he had built that.
Mephisto was butt kissing.
And then Thanos destroys the big god letter ring that was out there. And we'd see, by the way, up in the upper left-hand corner that he starts this miniseries with all six gems already in his possession.
Yes.
So unlike the movie, we don't actually get to see him going out and collecting the stones. He has them at the beginning.
And if you haven't read that, it's in a 2-issue limited series called Thanos Quest. It's actually pretty good. In fact, it's on sale on Comixology right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Brought to you by the fine folks at Comixology.
Yes. I am not. This is not a sponsored podcast. We have to say that legally. So.
And the moment is upon us when the stars must come to realize the absolute truth of your words. None shall deny my righteous place in the pantheon of the cosmic gods. I claim a seat at the head of the table. We switch to Doctor Strange and Wong chitter-chatting. By the way, if you're not currently reading Doctor Strange, you should. Very good.
I need to catch up on all that. I was for a while, but then I got sidetracked.
They've added some of the snarkiness from the Doctor Strange movie to it, which fits very well.
Yes, it does.
And Doctor Strange is contemplating his navel and the universe all at the same time. basically, he's bored. He's reading. He senses that there's an upcoming, an approaching crisis.
I've forgotten
dinner.
The narration changes to whoever character's being featured at the moment. I don't remember ever seeing that or remember seeing that since then. But it's like they change a scene, and it's like right now Doctor Strange is narrating at the same time.
Yep.
Some of it, anyway. Anyway, go ahead.
And Wong is like, "We're going out." And he's like, "Nope, just enjoying a book. Just chilling, eating my dinner, sipping my tea." And
floating in the air.
Yeah.
That looks so comfy.
It's like sitting on a big... Mm-hmm. Beanbag, without a beanbag.
It's real pain getting that air in that beanbag, let me tell you.
And there's a crack on the ceiling of his house.
Take a drink.
And
oh, wait, sorry. Wrong podcast.
And he Dr. Strange goes to investigate because there must be an intruder on the roof. By the way, I'm skipping dialogue because there's a shitload of dialogue here.
Yeah,
guys.
And a lot of it has to do with the character's main book, like characters that are mentioned and, you know, things like that. So, yeah. That's fine. So it's a lot of
then
stuff.
Then we have a scene that the movie paraphrases because they steal from... They use a different character in place of the Silver Surfer who came crashing through the roof of Dr. Strange's house.
Yeah, because Silver Surfer's still owned by Fox right now, so they couldn't do that. Anyway, I'll shut up now.
Dr. Strange recognizes him, and they put him on a couch because, well, that's what you do with visitors who've fallen through your roof. You put them on a couch. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I came to warn you. Warn me. Warn me about what, says Dr. Strange. Great danger this way must be stopped. Strange is like, who? What? And Surfer's like, his arrival could herald the end of the universe. Thanos is coming. And his mouth is all cosmic energy stuff.
Very nice touch, I thought.
It's very good Perez stuff.
And the panel up above that where he's laying there through the thing, and you can see all the detail he's putting in each shard of glass and stuff. I'll just be a little fanboy on Perez for a second. Okay, I'll shut up now.
Okay. All right. Got all the time in the world.
Okay.
The scene shifts, and we see Death, the Marvel personification of Death, which is the hooded skeletal creature in the Marvel universe is a woman, because we all know that women will be the death of us. I'm kidding.
That sort of cost you.
Yeah, there's parts of this that actually reminds me of my marriage, but you know, well, that's a whole nother podcast.
So Death is surveying her realm, and there's a narration going on. We still don't know who's narrating this thing at this point. It says that. Oh no, this is the Silver Surfer is narrating this part. He says, "I know. I thought him long dead. He was, but he is no longer. How could any of us know that Mistress Death would resurrect this monster?" And apparently, Death has long thought the fact that there are more people alive today than have ever died was a type of cosmic imbalance. And she waves her hand and resurrects Thanos, whose whole purpose in life was, well, to kill a lot of people. That was basically his mandate.
Yep.
And she gave him some augmented power, so he's even more powerful than he was before he got killed. And Thanos would need this might to perform the dark task his mistress assigned him. And Surfer's grabbing Strange by the tunic, and he says, Death has ordered Thanos to slaughter half the sentient population of the universe. And... which is interesting. I like how he calls out sentient population. So,
yeah,
not giving a crap about the bugs and the birds and the fish and stuff. It's just the ones who can basically think clearly. I will step aside and let someone else take this next,
next
10 or so it is.
Let's see. I'll take it. So we're back to Mephisto doing some brown nosing again. Back to that, they're talking, and he's monologuing. Thanos says, "This is for long months, Mephisto. I have contemplated the direction in which I should steer the destiny of this reality." See, that's the kind of stuff that he says. That's really good stuff, and all the myriad possibilities, and you know. This is, I probably said this before, I don't really care for books that show, that focus on a villain as the main character, but I have to say, two villains that I don't mind reading about is Bane and Thanos. Thanos is, I've read a lot of Thanos stuff, especially stuff.
You're breaking up again, Chris. Oh. Chris?
Yes?
Chris, you're breaking up again.
Seriously?
Yep.
Man, I wonder what the deal is. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Thanos is probably my favorite villain of the Marvel Universe. That's sum up what I was going to say. Anyway, so he's monologuing, and he's saying, I can do anything I want. You know, I got all this power, blah, blah, blah. And he just thinks and blows up the planet that they're standing on. And, of course, that doesn't do anything to Mephisto because he is a god himself.
Actually, he's just a devil. He's not a god. He's a devil.
He's the opposite.
Well, I guess it depends on your definition.
Well, he was an angel, and then he's fallen, and he was never a god. Well, he's just the ruler of hell. He's the king of hell.
Now. Okay, I'll give you that. Godlike. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Of course, he's not up there at the par with Thanos because of the gauntlet, but still. Anyway.
Yes.
So they're standing there in space with all the rocks around him, and you can see every nook and cranny and probably a lot of stars because Perez drew every one of them in painstakingly detail. And he continues, I am incapable of error. Any result that displeases me, I can simply reverse. There is nothing I need worry on, for I am Thanos, and Thanos is supreme. So you can always tell when you're talking about a mad, you know, evil bad guy when he starts talking about himself in the third person. And there's your thing. And he's just thinking, you know, and he's standing there with the gauntlet right above where his heart would be, well, if he was human. And they do a close-in to it, right into, well, I think that's the Soul Gem. I'm not really sure. And he continues talking. Silver Surfer shows up in there and says, but he was too arrogant to be anyone's thrall. And he came up.
You skipped the whole part where he like destroyed the whole planet he was standing on.
No, I said that. That must have been when you,
because he could.
Well, no, I think that was when I was supposedly skipping out. And by the way, when you said I was skipping out or losing connection last week, it wasn't on the recording, so it must be Skype's deal. So anyway.
Thanks, Skype.
Yeah, they're going to kill Skype, so we're going to have to figure another way to do this. But I've already got an idea. Anyway, moving on. He blows up a planet because he can, and he continues on saying how great he is and, you know, definitely no collusion and things like that. And so Surfer is telling Doctor Strange what he did. He basically went after the Infinity Gems and the limitless might the Mad Titan was striving for. He figured that was the only way he could do what Death wanted, and it talks about the gems. You got soul, mind, power, time, reality, and space. And basically, in other words, Thanos now has the unbridled power of a god. And it's a wonderful panel of all him using all of these at the same time, some fractured reality. You got dinosaurs, you got dinosaur bones, and a bunch of other stuff. He is all, and all there is now is his to command. Thanos is now mightier than death itself, which such a force in the hands of a madman, a nihilist.
This panel, the one above that, where Strange is talking with on the now modified sofa with the Surfer.
Yeah.
That sort of lightning outline of Thanos around the bottom of that panel is really cool. The yellow and
stuff. I would love to have that page in original art hanging on the wall. I think that would be awesome.
And everything's sort of like bleeding into each other. It's a real great way.
He's great way to show he's, you know, using all of those powers at once. It's really
cool. And is that Death over in those left hand panels, or is that Thanos?
It probably is Death.
Oh, it's Thanos. Like, no, yeah. It's Thanos because look at the chin. It's got the chin.
Oh yeah. The like built in beardy chin.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Okay, so they're talking, and Silver says it could mean the end of all that is, and then we kind of switch, and it's a character that we haven't really, I had at that point never heard of, but we're talking to some bank robbers. They're showing some bank robbers, and they are stupid, and they go off a cliff, And we...
They're not that stupid. They want to get to Canada, so they got that going for them.
Okay. Yeah, but they forgot to left turn at Albuquerque and drove off a cliff.
Yeah, well, so they're a little dumb.
Yeah.
Their hearts are in the right place.
So you see a short...
Until they hit the ground at the bottom of the cliff.
Yeah.
And then their hearts are all over the place.
What they would call, it's kind of an interlude, and there's this character smoking a cigar that's talking about these people, and he even says that they're, you know, he drove off a road at, doing 65, and no one's survived that sudden stop at the bottom of the cliff, and they continue on. We're back to Silver Surfer talking, and he's telling Strange that he tried to go after Thanos after he got all the gems with Drax the Destroyer. Talk about a dim bulb, not so much now.
Now, is he recapping stuff that's happened in other miniseries,
yes.
Other comics?
In fact, there is a trade that chronicles this. I forget the name of it, but it's on sale right now, too. But it's like 60...
Would that be on Comixology? Would that be on Comixology?
Yes, Comixology, and they're not paying me to say that. But it it collects like 4 or 5 issues of Silver Surfer that shows right after he's resurrected by death, and then a little bit after that, and then at the end of it is those 2 issues of Thanos' quest, and it shows him going after all of them. And then in the comics, each one of them is... with a one of the, what do they call them? Champions of the, no, not Champions of the Universe. Guys like Grandmaster and the Stranger and the Gardener and things like that. The ones, the Eternals, that's it. Not the Eternals. I forget their name. But anyway, at the level of Grandmaster. I forget what they're called.
And that's, anyway. And that's how, in that one panel a couple pages back, when they showed the 6 gems in a circle with the with the 6 elders. They're elders, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Elders of the Universe. Upper left-hand corner, going back to that page, you have the in-betweener. He had the soul gem, the Grandmaster, who did the champion. What was that? Where he put all the superheroes fight each other. What was the name of that? I can't remember.
Contest of the Champions.
Yes, Contest of Champions, exactly. The Grandmaster had the mine one, the blue one. That's going to clockwise. The next one, that guy was the Gardener. And he had the time. The next one, the reality one, which, believe it or not, the reality
collector.
One... what?
That's the Collector, isn't it?
Yes, the Collector, which is the same one that had it in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The space gem was won by a guy that had super speed. I forget his name. And then the next one up, the power gem was held by a, he was called the champion, and he liked to fight people. That's all he did. So I just reread that Thanos quest the other day, so I kind of remembered some of them. Anyway, so there you go.
The champion was in a really cool little mini series that was with Thor and Hulk recently.
Yes.
A really goofy little one. Anyhow, that was side note. Sorry.
All right, so back to that. He'd already got all those, and Silver Surfer says they pretty much got their ass kicked, and their spiritual essence was stolen from by the Soul Gem, and they were put in the metaphysical world of the Soul Gem, which is where they met some people, including Gamora, Pip, and Adam Warlock. Which, so far, has not showed up in the movies. But neither has Pip, that matter.
Well, for Adam Warlock, they've shown his cocoon a couple times. Twice now.
In the movies?
So, yep.
Yes, they showed it in both of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. They've showed his cocoon. The first one, he was in the Collector's collection.
See, I missed that.
You know, when they were walking through.
And then in
the second one... It appeared in one of the post-credit sequences.
Wow, I totally missed that.
Mm-hmm.
So they explain how Adam used a spell and ejected them back into this reality. And at that point, Surfer is back to our reality and realizes that Thanos has moved on, and he came right to Doctor Strange after that. So that's where we're at.
Yep.
Good recap.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Then we bounce into this big, long scene of Thanos and Death and Mephisto kind of perkling around in the background there.
Yes.
And really, it's all about Thanos trying to get Death to notice him and to love him back. He's done all this stuff for her, but apparently he's forgotten. He hasn't done the one thing that she wanted him to do, which was, like, kill off half the universe. So
it's very operatic. The whole thing is very, very...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, it is. Blah, it's like blah, a Greek tragedy, isn't it?
Yes. It just goes on and on. Like, I love you, blah, blah, blah. But really, I mean, at the very beginning of the book, it says she just wants half the universe killed off. And he still hasn't done that yet.
I think the way it was put was she... there's more people alive now than was ever been dead, and she didn't think that was cool, basically.
No, it's like a big cosmic imbalance. So she asks her lover to do this one thing, and he doesn't do it.
Yeah,
he goes off, he finds infinity gems, he does these other things, he does this, that, but he does, like, not do the one thing she asks. So, of course, she's all cranky. Mm-hmm. And she keeps turning away from him. And she, like, looks like a skull, like she's a skeleton in a robe right now. And then at some point, oh, I kind of skipped over a whole little scene there. Because really, this scene does not go on and on and on. It goes on and on after the next little scene. So we'll get back to that.
Yes.
We go back to the bank robbers who don't make it to Canada, but they make it to the bottom of a cliff. And then suddenly, there's, like, this big flash, and... they are not dead anymore. They get up. They feel better. You know, except that they're still kind of dead, I guess.
Yes.
And because they're kind of dead and charred and burned, the least looking burned one decides to go to the motel and get them a room. And they stay the night. And as the night passes, the bimbo turns green. And she's pretty happy with that.
Did you see in that, real quick, going back, when they first were at the bottom of the cliff, Perez actually has them all broken up. I mean, they're all bones pointing out in the wrong way and stuff. It was just one of those nice little details that but this much deep.
So Bimbo turns green, and eventually we learn, well, that's all we see right now. Bimbo turns green. And then we go back to Thanos, trying to get Death's attention.
Love me.
But the interesting thing is that she doesn't look like a skeleton anymore. She now looks like a person.
Yeah, it changes off and on through the thing. And I think it's interesting, Mephisto's sitting there holding a skull, very Hamlet-like.
Yes. And, I'm wondering what triggers the change. Like, is it because...
I don't know.
Part of the...
Go ahead.
I don't know. Like, part of the conversation between them shows that there's now a power imbalance. Like, before, Death was kind of in charge and Thanos was the underling. But now she feels like he's the one in charge. And she's
That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
Well, no,
I don't know
her servant actually says that. She doesn't says a word.
But maybe that is kind of symbolic of the change. Like, when she's feeling like she's on top, she gets to look like a skeleton. And when she feels like Thanos is overstepping, then he gets to see the vision of her that he wants to see, maybe. I don't know. Either way, they kind of go on and on and on, and they get to the point where finally he realizes, I got to do this thing. It's not just enough. Like, he makes this big, beautiful, I guess, monument to her floating around in space. It's all white, and there's flames, and it's pretty and everything, but
kind of Egyptian. In
Yeah.
And but, you'll notice that one side has her human-looking face, and the other side has her skull-looking face too.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're right, because I didn't think Thanos ever, and I could be misremembering, but I thought he always saw her as the person and not the skull. Like, yeah. I think even when she is a skull, he looks at her.
I think it just changes.
She's like this beautiful woman. I don't know.
It changes randomly, I think.
Mm-hmm. Either way, yeah, he says we're going to be king and queen of this place. Well, sorry, queen and king of this place. He puts her first. But eventually, he gets the point. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm supposed to kill everyone. Oh,
yeah.
I'm supposed to do that thing that you want me to do. Oh, okay. Well, I can do that. And I mean, Mephisto was kind of there in the background, wheedling him and whispering in his ear, and eventually drags him to see, like, this big self-evident truth. Like, Thanos doesn't really get there on his own. He needs to be kind of led to the obvious.
Yes.
He's kind of dumb. Like, is he normally this dumb?
No, he's... I think what it is the... All the info... Because he's tied into literally everything. Mm-hmm. And it might... He's still adjusting to it. And...
Okay.
And they said earlier... later in the series that... I think it was Vision... hold on. Shut up, Alexa. Later on in the series, Vision makes observation that they've only won in battles with him because he wanted to be defeated. And if he doesn't want to be defeated, then, you know. So
right.
That's kind of what, you know, sometimes he slips up. He thinks he's so smart and so intelligent, and he is, but things still slip by him because his mind is still mortal in a way at this point.
He's fallible.
Yeah, I guess so.
And, see,
and throughout that...
Yeah, and as far as he's concerned, he's done everything he's supposed to. And he can't understand
except
why...
the one thing he was directly asked to do, but,
yeah.
You know, whatever.
That's what he gets reminded of. So anyway, go ahead.
Women.
Yeah, I know. They're never satisfied.
Well, then do the thing that she's asked, for goodness sake.
I agree on that one.
Like, come on.
But no, you think
find
about
some
it,
flowers,
though.
Go buy her some flowers.
Think
make,
about
dinner,
it, though.
Make her the dinner.
Yeah, well,
don't
it's
go
just like women
to the corner store and hit the pizza shop and then hit the hobby store and then go to the mall and then come back and forget the freaking dinner. Like,
well, she didn't say it. You know, he keeps asking and says, and she just keeps saying, it's fine. Which it obviously isn't. So I mean,
she doesn't say anything. She just turns away because.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, throughout that whole jibber jabber, he like this is like it really takes him a long time to get there because we get the little scene where he's like, "Look, this is what I've done, and this is what I've done, and this is what I've done." And one of the things he's done is he's taken his granddaughter Nebula and turned her into like a shambling zombie creature. And we've seen Nebula in the movies, right? Haven't we?
Yes, that's...
That's Karen Gillan?
Yes. That's correct.
Okay. And she hasn't been zombied yet. In the movies, is she the granddaughter or the daughter? I feel like
she's her daughter. They call her a daughter, which the way they do it in the movies is her and Gamora were raised by him. Well, at least Gamora was. Whether she's actually related to Nebula or not, I'm not really sure. I don't remember.
They're not
that.
Related. They're sisters in
name only.
Like same way that Foster sisters are sisters.
Exactly.
Alrighty, so let me see. Thanos
told him, and Mephisto even told him what to do, but
I
he
know.
Took it all. He's like,
I know. He presents Nebula. That doesn't do anything. He kills off her death's servant. That doesn't do anything. And like finally, he gets the point. Oh, my love told me to extinguish the light of half the universe's population. It's a task I have yet to complete. How inconsiderate of me. My behavior has been inexcusable. No wonder you've been angry with me. A lover should always follow through on a vow given. Bingo. Mm-hmm. And so then he snaps his fingers. and we see the effects of that finger snap throughout
the
Marvel
Universe. Mephisto panel. The Mephisto panel is really cool, where he's like, it's like that scene in Pulp Fiction where he's just about to stab her in the chest with the needle.
Oh yeah.
And they show Arquette. She's in the background. She's like savoring the whole moment. Like, oh my God, this is going to be so cool.
He's just on the edge of his seat. He's like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I nibbly my fingernails. It's going to happen. Awkward, awkward. And then he does it. And that finger snap image is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It
gets all silhouetted. And we see like the 5 Infinity Stones, 6, 7, whatever they are.
Six. There's only 5 in that panel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we see its like effect on the Marvel Universe. So we see what happens to Spidey, and
it makes his spider sense go nuts, and he happens to be looking at the crowd when it hits.
And then he's looking at half the crowd, and he's immediately thinking of Mary Jane because they're still married at this point. And
I believe so, yeah.
Hey, look, and there's Howard Roast Duck.
Yes, saw that. Yeah, one of these. I was reading through the whole series before the podcast. There's actually a picture of Trump Tower in the background of one of these.
Mm.
It says big letters Trump on it.
He was probably one of the ones taken. Please tell me.
We're not that lucky.
Then we get some Avengers scenes by Perez before he was on the book, and it's still amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
And how the Avengers vanish.
Where he's on the book a second
time. Busick, right, not before he was ever on the book. You're right. I'm thinking of his like, classic long run.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, I saw where you were going, but I just wanted to. Mm-hmm.
That's true. I totally forgot he was on for a little
God,
bit. In that.
Murray, come on.
Jeez, man.
In the 200s? The 200? I don't know.
Yeah, I used to have some of that. I wish I hadn't sold them.
Mm-hmm. So we see the Avengers vanish, and we see S.H.I.E.L.D., and they're floating up in space, and they're worried. Everybody's worried. Worried, worried, worried. Hulk is worried. Cattle farmers are worried because half their cows are gone now. Mm-hmm. It's not just people. This affects animals, plants, Skrulls. We see what happens to the Skrulls. And, of course, they feel like the Kree are involved, so they're ready to start a war. And then we go back to Doctor Strange, and he is affected because poor Wong gets zapped away, well, killed, I guess.
Worse, ceased to exist.
I know, and poor Silver Surfer is dramatic as always. It's too much for him to bear. It's just too much.
Yeah, he's the bearer. Alicia's
beauty is too much for him to bear. Galactus is too much for him to bear. A ham sandwich is too much for him to bear. It is just too much.
Yes, he
and he crumbles.
He does do that often, doesn't he?
Only every single time we see him.
That's true.
Yes, that is his rot. What do they call? Not Rosane Pierre. What do they call it?
Raison d'être.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's his thing. That's his shtick. He wouldn't be the Silver Surfer if he wasn't, like, way more upset about things than he needs to be.
Yeah, he carries the guilt of the entire universe in his brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then we get to go to Saturn and one of the moons, Titan, and we see Star Fox, and we see the Titans jibber-jabbering, and Star Fox brings in Fire Lord, who I guess was a big deal maybe at the time, although he's totally forgettable to me. Like, I don't
know. He was a herald. He was the herald of Galactus before Silver Surfer.
One of many. Like, I don't know that he was any better than any of the others.
No, but I wasn't saying that. I think he was the one right before Silver Surfer, though.
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah, I don't even know. He seems to get prominence in this miniseries later on. Or maybe not. Maybe he's just in the one scene I happen to have looked at. But
yeah, I remember him being in later issues of Guardians of the Galaxy when Vance Astro was on it.
Yeah.
So
maybe he's a big deal, and I'm just unaware.
I thought Surfer was herald. But
he was not the first. He was one of many.
Whoa! Thank you, Skype.
Oh, we lost him again.
I'm here. Skype. Hello. I can hear you.
I noticed something when some of the people, when they vanish, they just vanish. Some of the people, like realize they're vanishing.
Yeah, it's like a slow fade out. Help me, help me.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, no, we hear you.
Okay, all right. Well,
we're just ignoring you.
There's no change on my end, so.
And we'll blame the interwebs.
And Drax is watching the high comedy of Alf.
Yeah, that shows up twice, actually. That's pretty funny.
Oh, dear. That is, oh my gosh, that's true. Poor guy. Poor Muffin.
Yes, he is a muffin.
And Star Fox realizes that this is all the work of Thanos.
Well, Isaac tells him it. Isaac, the living computer.
I guess so, yeah. Uh-huh. Who looks like Steel, the Man of Steel.
He does. You're right. Mm-hmm.
And then we get one final scene, I think, of the bank robbers.
Yep.
Bimbette is totally green, and the chubby dude is starting, I guess, to look more troll-like, or maybe that's what he always looked like.
Well, his ears are pointy now and stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the girl fades away right before his eyes. She just vanishes.
Yep. Well, she's also reacting to it like some of the characters do and some of them don't. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she goes green and then she vanishes and he's all freaked out and he goes to get his buddy, but his buddy is in a cocoon of some kind. Like a big...
Oh, I stand corrected. Like a... You were right. He was the first. My bad.
Oh. First one.
There you go. Silver Surfer.
Oh, Silver Surfer. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
My bad.
Lost track of him. It's okay. It's not. Mm-hmm. I just remember he made that deal with Galactus saying, hey, if you take me on, I can help you find other planets. And...
Yeah.
But
it didn't make him any less whiny and navel-gazing.
No. So that's where we end. A big cocoon. Is that Warlock? That would be my guess. Adam Warlock comes out of that. So Adam Warlock was a bank robber?
Yeah, their souls came out of the soul gem and took over those bodies.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, he has a habit of resurrection.
Can you imagine if that happened to Surfer? Oh, the guilt.
Oh, yes, I know. He couldn't handle it. Like,
all over the place with that. And that's the end, from bad to worse, is the next issue. Boom, boom, boom. It's cool. I don't think I've ever read this. I thought I'd read it, but I must have read one of the earlier Infinity things, whichever came. Is there something that came earlier?
No.
No, this is the progenitor. This is the one that...
Yeah. Really?
That started. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
There was Infinity...
So I must have read this, and I have, like, no memory of it. But I do, because I remember when it changed from Perez to Lim. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not ugh, but I mean... In comparison, there's no comparison.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
I
no,
love.
Apple.
And he.
Yeah, so I must have
Apple.
Read it.
Yeah.
Apple at least banana. Up to issue 4 or 5.
Yeah, it was like literally one page it was Perez, and the next page it was Ron Lim. I was just reading that right before. So.
And I guess you can place this time wise, publishing wise. This is the same time when Byrne was doing West Coast Avengers, because if you look at the cover of the next issue, it's got the White Vision on there.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And was Simonson doing Thor, or was this? I guess I'd have to read the actual issue to see what personality Thor is.
It was that Eric Masterson guy. It wasn't actually Thor.
Oh, the Surfer dude. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's standing there, and nobody knows it but him, and his helmet has a mask in it.
Oh, and they took the Fantastic Four off the board for the whole series. Look at that.
I know, all of them are gone. Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. I didn't realize that till I was looking through there.
Okay, well, I got to wrap this up because my iPad is on like 10%.
All right.
Ooh, I'm getting the red.
Hey, Murray, if you get a chance, go see the movie. It is well worth the price of admission.
Yeah, it's good.
I totally plan to. I'm not going to wait for Netflix. I will see it.
During the previews and during the credits. And
yes.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Or bring a bottle.
You got it.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, we're wrapping this up. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can join us on Facebook. Every so often, I will post something there. Trying to do better on that. Or you can come on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is it for this week. We are out.